Good morning. Or is it a good morning? I don't know. One thing I do know is this is the news, according to me. Well, I am, I'm up, and it's live. We are, Tuesday morning, 8:44 Eastern Standard Time, September 14th. There's so much stuff going on that the only thing that really matters is what's in my cup this morning. I'm in an okay mood this morning, but it's one of those things where, you know, I don't stay down very long. I just don't allow myself to stay down, as it were. I have a tendency to, especially in the morning, it's kind of like, you know, his mercies are new every morning, and it's just kind of one of those things where I have a fresh outlook sometimes on life. But I have to admit, sometimes it's way too easy to look at the things that are going on around us and kind of get depressed and discouraged and frustrated. Most Americans want to just be able to live their lives, feel like they're doing good in the world, and then go about their selfish ways. That's where most Americans are. That's where most people are, actually. And we talk about the sin nature of people. It's not really that. It's the selfish nature of people. Because people are self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish individuals. That is kind of at the root of everything that is our base nature. Even the most generous people on the planet have a tendency to be extremely selfish. They don't realize it. Once in a while, I hear people say, you know, I don't think about myself all the time. I'm one of those people who always constantly, I'm always helping everybody else out. I never help myself out. And finally, I decided to do something for myself. No, actually, all the stuff you do for everybody else is so that it makes you look good. There's this self, at the center of all your goodness and all the things you do for everybody else is actually, it's because your self-image is based on that. It's very difficult to escape it. I'm not saying you're a bad person because of that or that you're worse than anybody else. All I'm saying is, you just don't realize it. Because it's an innate part of who we are as humans. It's at the core of why a man had to hang on a cross. In a totally unselfish act. To show us an example of what true selflessness is. He didn't have to come here. He didn't have to go through us hanging him on a cross and crucifying him. He didn't have to do that. But love compelled him. His love for us compelled him to do that. Because he's a responsible God. Yeah. My little gospel message this morning. The gospel means good news. That's good news, folks. Because I guarantee you, you don't deserve anything he did for you. I guarantee you that. You didn't earn it. And you can't earn it. You can't add to it. You can just accept and receive it. So just do that. And be at peace. The thing that's in my cup here this morning is just Lipton tea with some honey. And of course, sugar. Yeah, you gotta have sugar in there. It's that white processed refined stuff. And then I don't use the raw sugar stuff. It's whatever. Because that's somehow better for you. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. And then I've got the some coconut oil in there. For my heart, I guess. I don't know. For something. I don't know. Cholesterol? Something. It does something for me. Not sure what. So I'm not sure if this show, I've always tried these. I'm at home now. I'm in my home studio. I was planning on being at the headquarters today. I probably will have a later show this afternoon, depending on what happens on the news. If nothing happens today, if it's a slow news day, I may not have a show this afternoon because I've got a lot to do before I leave tomorrow. So I've got a lot going on. And I'm only going to be gone for a couple of days. I'm actually going to be gone for one night and then back here again on Friday and Saturday. And I'll leave again on Sunday. Gone for a few days. But, so if it's a slow news day, I won't have a show this afternoon. If I do have a show today, it will probably be based on, you know, any kind of revealing news or any kind of insights I have this afternoon. So pretty much this is kind of one of my work days here at home. I think, well, I'm going to go to the office as well. I've got some stuff I got to do there, but I digress. Anyway, you know, you didn't tune in to hear about that. I know you wanted to hear about my opinion on some of this garbage that's going on in the world. You know, I was taken back by something that I found out. This was the, you know, if you've ever seen Facts Matters, that's a really good show. Roman, blah, 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 I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's called Facts Matters is his channel. And he goes through facts. And of course, he gets censored a lot because he's reading facts from documents that actually exist. And they censor him for that. This is almost as ridiculous as when they take away someone's blue check mark. They de-checkmark them because a checkmark is not, it used to be that when you got a blue checkmark in Twitter, it was because they verified it, you were actually the real person. In other words, you were like, because I'm sure there's more than one, you know, Bob Evans out there. You know, insert your celebrity name there. Probably more than one of them out there. And so when that, or somebody could just come up with just start a Twitter channel and just have any kind of name they want. And so you can just start a Twitter name with, like, you could be Joe Biden for that matter. But when you get a blue check mark, it verifies that you are the Joe Biden that everybody thinks of when they say Joe Biden or whoever it is, Bob Evans, whatever it is, you know, Kevin, whatever. News according to me, verified to be news according to me. And so they get this blue check mark. Well, in the process of getting the blue check mark, that's just to verify who you are. Well, now it has become more than that. It's become this deal where the blue check mark means that they approve of you. They are taking blue check marks away from people now. These are people who are verified to be who they are, but they're taking away their check mark because it carries some kind of an approval stamp. So now you are no longer who you say you are, I guess. Because they take away your blue check mark. They think that's a punishment. I mean, you're still the same person. But supposedly what you say now doesn't have as much authority because you don't have that blue check. It's not a blue check mark person, so you can't trust them. It's just ridiculous, that kind of thing. We're borderlining the Chinese, what's it called? The Chinese social merit structure. Now you get your blue check mark taken away. It's ridiculous. So I was thinking about this this whole thing with the CDC and WHO. Now, on Facts Matter the other day, Roman was talking about this, and some interesting things have happened at the CDC and with the World Health Organization. instead of just allowing the definition of a vaccine or being vaccinated to just stand where it has always been, they have changed the definition of vaccination. Now, you need to really go listen to his report on it, because it'll far outdo anything I'm talking. I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head. I don't remember everything he said. But they basically changed the vaccine. A vaccine used to be something that prevented or kept you from getting a disease, or provided a certain kind of protection. Well, this now it's just it's almost like it's a therapeutic. They've changed the definition very, very carefully. And the World Health Organization also changed something about, I can't remember what it was that they changed. So the reason they're doing this is because vaccines now, this is how ridiculous we have gotten. This is how much hysteria is behind this whole thing with vaccinations and why this vaccine. And I tell you, the more pressure and the more outrageously pushy they get with this vaccine, the more I question why. Well, our patience is running thin. Oh, so it was always going to be mandatory. You just thought we would all flock to get it. But when we didn't, now you're upset. Now, I'm not going to tell you to get the vaccine or not. I am going to say this, though. I was talking a little bit about this yesterday in my short show. There are a number of people now who are pro-vaccine and have been vaccinated and are really upset about this mandate thing. Now, you have to be kind of careful about calling it a mandate, because there's a slippery way out in this thing. They didn't go quite all the way with it. What they said was they're going to require businesses with 100 or more employees to get the vaccine, or they will be imposed. I think is it $1,400? I think I said $14,000 yesterday. I think it's a $1,400 fine per employee. So if you have 100 employees, that's $140,000. Or you must require testing. I think it's once a week. I'm not sure how that works. Some employees work remotely. So how are you going to do that? And where are you going to get the tests? And who's going to pay for the test? Another question. Sorry, I just bumped my microphone with my mug. So there's a lot of questions about this yet. I'm not even sure when it goes into effect. I'm sure it's not immediate. I'm sure they have to go through some kind of paperwork issue. So I'm sure everybody has to comply within 60 days or 90 days or 30 days or 10 days or whatever it is. But this does two things. There's a lot of businesses that were kind of on the fence about this because they didn't want to tick off their employees. But now, see, they have a mandate. Oh, we have to do this now. Sorry. It lets them off the hook. Not just relationally with their employees, but legally with their employees. In other words, they can say, well, you can't sue us for this because, they made us do this. So they're making us do this. So now we have to do this now to you. Well, you do have a way out. You don't have to get the vaccine. Now the company can now say, you have to get the vaccine. No, I don't. Well, then we have to test you once a week. Okay, that's fine. Test me once a week. Stick a little thing up my brain and go ahead and do that. I guarantee you're going to get just as tired of it as I will. This is a punishment. This is nothing but a punishment. It's to make your life miserable until you comply. I'll just get the vaccine. I'm getting tired of getting this thing stuck up my nose. I'm not ever going to get tired of that. And there's been no avenue I just read a comment here on Podbean. So are we supposed to get intimidated by his patience running thin? I think our patience are running thin. All the government BS. Yes. that's where we're at this point. I think that even people on the left that I've known for years, that I hardly ever talk to anymore, are really getting upset with this. The whole mandate thing has redrawn the lines, and because there are a lot of people on the left who are anti-vax. Now, I'm not anti-vax. There are tried and true, proven vaccines that actually do vaccinate you against certain diseases. This is a whole different animal, and it happened way too fast. And we have a lot of doctors, a lot of specialists, and a lot of intelligent individuals giving us information that say, whoa, this is way too far, too fast. This is a new technology within vaccination, and we've sped it up way too fast. Now, I know President Trump likes to brag about the fact that we got this vaccine done in record time. That's true. They did. They were able to fast-track this thing. They got it done in record time. And maybe for some people it has provided some protection. And it's the statistics right now show me I keep asking these two questions. Anybody ever pushes you on this issue? These are the two questions to ask. And they usually go hysterically off on some tangent. And I'll explain what that is. Question one, does this vaccine prevent me from getting COVID? It's a yes or no question. And of course the answer is no. It does not prevent you from getting COVID. Does the vaccine prevent me from spreading or carrying the vaccine or the virus? No, it does not. You can still spread it. In fact, studies right now, there's an excellent study out by Israel that is showing almost 14 times more immunity through natural immunity. In other words, if you've already had the virus, especially against the Delta variant, it's early, folks. It's, Joe Biden's still in bed, I'm sure, so that's why I call it early. I haven't drank all my tea yet. So the variant, and this is a very good study. I mean, that's the way they have defined the numbers. They've been very careful about the way they've defined all the categories. It is going through peer review study right now, and it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be certified, peer reviewed, because it's an excellent study by an excellent organization. The apples to apples comparison in this is that your natural immunity is like 14 times, almost, it's over 13 times greater against COVID in general, as well as the variant, and seems to be much more robust. In other words, it lasts longer than this vaccine does. And here is the bottom line, the question I've got about this vaccine thing. And this is where I get really concerned, because some of the experts that have talked about this say that they're talking about spike proteins. It's the spike proteins that they're carrying this virus. There's this vaccine through your body to kill the virus. And the spike proteins then attack the virus when it's in your body. That's not what's happening. One of the doctors that has mentioned this is saying that he's concerned about it. They're not using the spike protein in this particular. That's not what's the activation of this thing. I don't understand what I'm talking about, obviously. But it's cytotoxicity. Cytotoxicity does not develop any kind. And this is the reason for the booster shots. Cytotoxicity does not develop any kind of T cell memory or ability to create for the body to create its own immunity. In fact, some of these specialists, this is where it gets a little scary, some people who know what they're talking about are saying that if in fact it is cytotoxicity that they're using to defeat the symptoms of this thing, which is basically all the vaccine does, it does lessen your symptoms, apparently. In other words, most of the people who are hospitalized in intensive care tend to be unvaxxed individuals. Now, we're reaching a point right now where they're saying that we are basically almost at a herd immunity point. In other words, as has happened in the past, this thing spikes, it goes off, the case numbers go really high, really fast, and then it drops off almost as quickly, sometimes more quickly than it came on in most outbreaks. And we're almost at that point now. The problem, and here's the crux of this whole vaccine thing, where I'm really questioning how this is going to pan out in the next 6 months to a year, is that the cytotoxicity issue enables people to continue to carry it and actually hurts their body's ability to create natural immunity against this thing. In other words, it may be disabling their natural immunity and causing their body to actually form, it's almost goes into an autoimmune situation. It has a reverse backfire effect. That's not been proven, and that's all theory and conjecture, and that's the thesis behind some of this. We don't know. And that's the problem. We don't know. Some of my issues with this thing are the people who are behind it. First of all, who is Anthony Fauci?
Anthony Fauci. Another layer, Don't wear a mask, but another layer couldn't hurt.
Just keep piling that cloth over your mouth so you'll shut up. That's what he needs to wear, like 5 layers, I think, and a bag over his head. That would help solve a lot of issues. This guy's invested in stuff behind the tape, behind the scenes. He invested in the Wuhan lab. He invested in some of these. I'm sure he's got investments in Pfizer and Moderna. You can't tell me there's not agreements where he's getting paid or taken care of under the table, or his family is. Somebody is. Why is Bill Gates involved in this? Bill Gates, who was almost, he's almost ecstatic about all this, jabbing everybody in the arm. Children under the age of 15 are 6 times more likely to die of heart issues or to have heart issues because of the vaccine. Now get this. 6 times more likely to die from the vaccine than they are from the actual virus. What is going on here? Why is there such a push to save the children? It's for the children. We have to save, Nancy Pelosi, we have to save the children. I have a heart full of love. I just have a heart full of love, and I want to save everyone. Yeah, they're talking about doctors and nurses walking off the job because, and I think Steven Crowder did a pretty good job of kind of blowing this myth away. They're saying that doctors and nurses are leaving their jobs because the hospitals are overwhelmed and they don't know what to do. They're just tired of it. They have to leave because they're under such pressure. Because the hospitals they're just overworked and they're leaving their careers. Now, the doctors and nurses I know, especially the nurses, they are up for the challenge. They're up for any challenge. They're not up for taking this vaccine. They're leaving because of the vaccine, but they're not letting you know that. It has a lot more. And here's where I don't like to give advice too much, even though I do all the time, because I'm really opinionated, so I just tell you what I think. But I digress. Anyway, the thing about this is, I'm telling everybody, do not quit your job. Make them fire you. Make them let you go. And here's where it gets tough, because they're going to make your job miserable for a while. If you have to be tested every week, it's not going to be fun. Make them... And don't let them ask you to resign. Make them fire you. Make them terminate you. And here's why I'm saying that. And I don't know that this is going to happen, but personally, I believe at some point there is going to be wrongful termination lawsuits on a class action basis. Of course, the lawyers are the only ones that ever make money on a class action. You know, the suing party, the group, usually makes about half what the lawyers do. Lawyers take about 50%, typically. But that's more than you would get otherwise, unless you just individually want to sue the employer, which I think that's where I would go. I would just probably directly sue my employer. And I would sue the union that didn't stand up to protect me. The one job that I do right now, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing it. For various reasons, I mean, every day I go in there, I think about quitting. Seriously, I do, because I can do much better on my own. I got a side business that's not really a side business. It is my business, and this job is starting to get in the way. Actually, it's been in the way for a couple of years. I went back to the job because I enjoyed this company. I was away from the company for 12 years. I enjoyed the people I worked with. I enjoyed the job itself. I enjoyed the work I was doing. And they, because of some logistical changes that they made, some geographical changes, they came to closer to my home again. And they moved back here to the Midwest. They were on the East Coast for a while. They moved back to the Midwest. And all of a sudden, I can come back, and I lost all my seniority in the group that I'm, labor group I'm a part of. But they came back, and I enjoyed working for them. It was a good company. It was, you know, I went back there, and I'm appalled at the way people are being treated now. I expected them to kind of go down the road that most companies do and kind of not be, you know, when I came back, I kind of expected some things. But since COVID has broke out, it has really shown their true colors in at least the middle management section, the people I have to deal with on a daily basis. And I'm appalled at the things that they're doing and the way they're treating people. It is, and they're trying to take on way too much work with way too little staff because, of course, that, you know, that way they make more money. They don't have as much overhead, but it overburdens the people who are there doing the job, and they don't care. It's called squeeze what you can out of everybody, as much as you can, and then it's because that's the way business is nowadays, I guess. And I understand they're trying to be competitive because they got a lot of competition in their market. So that's I get that. But, you know, you could do other things to make it's definitely greed. If there are other things you can do to take care of the people who are making the, you know, getting the job done for you while you sit in an office sipping coffee, talking about how bad labor is. So these are people who are highly motivated and want to work for them. And the reason I came back is because I work with some of the best employees on the planet. These aren't slouches. These aren't people who are bad. I mean, there are some. There are some who you just don't want to. I just don't want to work with them. But one out of every 15, maybe, that I end up having to work with for a few days is just a jerk. But you're going to get that any place. Most places you go to work, there's probably one in 15 that you want to work with. At least that's been my experience. The vast majority of people typically, if you've got a job where everybody you work with is somebody you want to work with, well, congratulations, that's a lifelong career right there. Just don't ever leave that place. Or maybe you're the one that nobody wants to work with. That's another possibility. I had never thought about that. Maybe I'm that guy. So, and everybody I've talked to recently in the group, the labor group that I'm in, they're ready to walk out the door. They got other things going on. They're tired of it. And this, you know, in normal circumstances, if it was just an economic downturn, these people would be there, hats on, ready to go, sleeves rolled up, digging in, doing the job to make the company work, to make everything happen. I think that the added burden of this whole thing as being, it's not just an economic issue now. It's because economically there's plenty of work to be done for them. It's just, here, put this mask on. Obey these rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. Live in this environment where we have to do all this stuff, all these extra measures all the time. And then on top of that, we're going to work you to death. And I think that, in even the limited number of days you have off in a month, we're going to take some of those away from you too. Force you to work into your days off. And I think that whole process, frankly, has worn people down to the point that they're tired of it. They're burned out, to put it frankly. That's just what's happened. They're just burned out. And I think that's where so much of what we're doing right now in this nation is, and we're paying people to stay home because, you just need to pay them more. Whatever. Pay them more. Okay, whatever, Joe. That's all this, that's only going to increase inflation in an already fragile economic situation. Our supply chain is extremely fragile right now. It always has been. And I knew, I was talking to some people before the shutdown. And I said, you can't just shut down parts of our economy without it affecting everything. The person who's making lollipops, you might not think they're essential. Well, their job is essential to the economy. And you start shutting down certain sectors of the economy, eventually, somebody along the line in that whole ecosphere of our economy and the supply chain, something's going to break on that chain. It only takes one link to be screwed up. And I think we discovered that with lumber. Now we're discovering it with computer chips. Supplies for marketing things, like hats. I know people who have businesses where they make hats and they do printing on hats. They're having a hard time finding hats, blanks to put the blanks to put the hat to put the printing on. Who would have thought hats are essential? Well, they are, because that's part of your marketing plan, or it's your business. And now here you are unable to, there's plenty of people wanting hats, but you don't have hats to provide. So it's all part of that. Plus this whole idea that, there's like 8 million people looking for work right now, and there's 10 million jobs open. What's wrong with this picture? And we're still paying people to be on unemployment. We're telling people not to pay their rent and they can get away with it because, they can't be evicted. And then we get concerned when they haven't paid rent for so long. Because there's no relief for the landlord. Those evil landlords who own all the homes and they sit there and they're in the little rocking chair and they do nothing all day but just mise about how they're going to get more money squeezed out of their tenants. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been a landlord or not. It's not an easy thing. But, it's a huge risk. Anytime you take on a new tenant or anything, I have not owned or rented out houses. I've owned houses. I have not rented out houses or outhouses. I've been in an outhouse, but I haven't rented one out. the thing about all this is, there you go. That's my talk right now. I'm gonna take a side note here. All the stuff that's going on, and here's the thing that is really, I guess, frustrating and aggravating for me. There's so much stuff going on in the news cycle that any one of these things would be huge news. And stay in the news cycle if we had a decent media out there. The border is still an issue. It's still a mess. And nobody's talking about that. That's one thing. And they like it that way because, oh, there's all this other stuff going on that makes Joe is kind of, I think at this point, Joe is kind of a throwaway president. They're trying to pile as much stuff on him as they can. Keep Kamala off the record, keep her hidden, doing other things, send her to Vietnam, do something, whatever, so that she's not involved in any of this stuff because by the end of the year, we're going to be talking about proceedings to remove Joe. And it'll be this compassionate thing. Oh, well, Joe served so well for a year, and now we're going to have to put him out to pasture. He's just, oh, poor Joe. He's got a medical condition. And guess what? They're going to be waving flags, and, oh, we got the first, I guess, African-American / Eastern Asian whatever president, female president. That'll be the feather in their cap. Look what we did. It's all about identity, right? Because that qualifies you. You should have the right, either have to have the right identity to be qualified. To show that she can do the job better than any man. Because anything a man can do, a woman can do as good or better. Anything a man can do. There's not one thing, according to Joe. And if you get these vaccines, you're not going to get COVID, according to Joe. And if we pull out of Afghanistan, the Afghan army, 300,000 strong, isn't going to collapse. How many times can this guy make statements that nobody holds him accountable to? Yeah, well, see the comment here in the comments section. There's simple solutions to some of the problems we face in the U.S., and there really are. But the mode of operation, modus operandi of the left, and anybody in establishment, really even on the right as well, and even the Republicans that are establishment Republicans, their mode of operation, their SOP, is that they create a crisis that they then want to step in and solve through more regulation, and more control. Oh, we have the answer for that. Oh, we're going to create a housing crisis in 2008. We're going to create this banking collapse, which was really just one bank that was going to collapse. But they had to make it sound like all of them were going to collapse. So they had this big housing market collapse thing. And then in the process, oh, we're going to step in. We got to rush back to Washington and solve this problem. We have to abandon capitalist principles in order to save capitalism. That actually came out of a politician's mouth. And of course, it's all about dipping their toe, like you said, it's all about dipping their toe in the financial stream where they can get all the money. Because that's what they do. The more money they can get flowing through Washington, the more they can dip into it. Or at least, you know, it's kind of slime it off or slither it off into places that they want, you know, their little pet peeves or their little bag people around them, surround them with money. Payola, the payoffs, all that stuff. Absolutely pathetic. So let's change gears here for a second. Let's talk about this whole Afghanistan thing. I was listening once again to some of the statements that were made by General Milley, and some other people. And, right after the whole thing, after the bombing that killed some of our finest, right after that happened, of course, they had this, oh, we had a drone strike. Our intelligence told us that there was a bomber planner guy. We went after the planner. He wouldn't give any names. The planner. We went after the planner. We struck him with a drone and blew him up. And there was a secondary explosion that killed a lot of innocent people. And because our bomb was a surgical strike, and then of course the missile was a surgical strike, and of course that Hellfire missile that they shot, that detonated this bomb, which led them to believe that yes, it was an actual bomber. Because, you know, apparently they needed confirmation because their intelligence was, I guess, weak. I don't know. And it's the secondary explosion is what killed everybody. It wasn't the, you know, their missile just killed the bomber, but the secondary explosion was the bomber, you know, that the bomber did. It's, they can blame that on him. That's who killed all the people around them. I think there were over 100 people injured. It was, a lot of people died there. And, okay, so we got the planner. That made Joe look tough again. That's all you heard in the news for a couple days. We struck and killed the bomber, the planner. He's on his way to Kabul, to the airport, with a car bomb. Well, there's a new investigation going on by a very credible organization. And what they're finding now is that this guy was actually a volunteer humanitarian aid worker. He had put a bunch of water containers in his car that he did about every few days. He tended to drive around the community and talk to people and give people rides and do different things and move supplies around because that's what they do. And these water containers that looked like gas cans, they thought that it was a chemical bomb of some kind. This was just grasping at straws. They needed to shoot somebody. And I, if you go back in my episodes, I think three or four episodes ago, I talked about this. And I was very cynical about this thing where they were coming out and talking about the plan. I could just tell by the way the news media and the narrative was set. I did not believe them. And now it is coming out during this investigation that there apparently was never a planner. That this was just a ruse to make it, you know, and my question was, where was their intelligence the day that the bomb went off at the airport? And speaking of intelligence, here's the question that I continue to ask. And I ask myself and I ask those around me, but I don't get any answers. Willy Vanilli gets up and says, there was nothing, no intelligence that we ever saw that gave us any indication that the Taliban would take over in 11 days. Nothing. Well, first of all, we're taking your word for it, Willy. Because there, you know, there was, I don't know if you saw the exchange between Blinken and Representative Mast from, I think he's from Florida, who they got into a pretty heated exchange on the floor. And he got into it with him. He basically went off, said, I don't believe any of your lies. I don't believe anything you say. He was talking about the transcripts and they manipulated intelligence of some kind. He was talking about that whole thing, going through that whole thing. But that's kind of the, there's this side story to this whole thing. The issue is one of intelligence. And stop and think about this. And I used to hear Rush Limbaugh talk about this occasionally. What has the intelligence machine, organization, NSA, CIA, FBI now basically is one of the intelligence agencies we have there. They want to be their own little CIA within the country. Other than spying on Americans, on us, what kind of intelligence has stopped an attack of any kind that we know of? 9/11? That didn't seem to happen. They kind of failed us on that day, didn't they? Our supposedly top-notch, perfect intelligence agencies, they never get anything wrong. And of course, the Trade Center was bombed prior to that. It wasn't just 9/11. There was the basement bomb that went off. But they got in. There was the Timothy McVeigh bomb that went off in Oklahoma City. And, of course, there's been a myriad of other things that have happened. So the question is, what is happening right now that our intelligence has no clue of? Because they're too busy calling us domestic terrorists, white supremacists. White supremacy is really that's the number one threat to our country right now. White supremacist, domestic terrorism. In other words, if you're a Trump supporter, you're a domestic terrorist, white supremacist, regardless of the color of your skin, apparently. This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with right now. And I'm telling you, if I'm wrong on this, then I'm wrong on everything on life. Merrick Garland is an evil individual. He is trying to operate as the Attorney General. He's turning the Attorney General office in the DOJ into an in absentia or by proxy Supreme Court. In fact, he's almost like a Supreme Court judge all to himself with the ability to actually prosecute. See, that's where the Supreme Court only has the ability to rule on cases. In other words, they have the ability to decide whether a case is constitutional or not. The AG and the DOJ have the right to go after people, have the ability to go after people and prosecute people and indict them. SCOTUS can't do that. They're really kind of toothless in some ways. They depend on the DOJ to, and the AG and the president and everybody who's in the executive branch and the legislative branch to enact the rulings that they make. That's not going to happen. I mean, we're going to get down to the point where they're going to ignore those. And that has happened in the past, by the way, i.e. the Trail of Tears. Other times, and right now, the Biden administration has even ignored some of the things that the Supreme Court has said. So we come full circle back to this whole issue of whether or not vaccine mandates are constitutional. Well, their argument is this may not be actually a mandate. This is a fine. Oh, you don't have to. This is kind of like Obamacare. You don't have to get this insurance, but if you don't, we're going to fine you. Because as a tax, as Justice Roberts said, as a tax, it stands constitutional. But that's not the way it was presented to the Senate. It was only presented that way to the House. They changed the wording when they went from one to the other. That's how they got the bill through. This is underhanded, slimy politics. And it's absolutely pathetic, as most everything is. It's political theater. The establishment only engages in political theater and does what's right for them to stay in power, because the end justifies the means, and the end is total power on their part. They need total power. They want to have control through regulation or whatever means, but they want to control the means of production, because once they do that, then they're in this place where everybody has to come to them and bow before them and say, can we do this, please? Can we please do this? Can I start a business, please? Can I start this business? No, you can't do that because you're political, because you didn't vote for me, so you can't do that. So that's where we are. And that's my rant for the day. I haven't finished my tea yet, but the show's gone on long enough. I do want to say thanks for all those who popped in and listened to the show there for a little while. And for those of you who commented, 100-yard alchemist. I think that's the way you say your name. Appreciate your comments in the chat room. So please like, share, subscribe. You know what they say. As they say, smash that like button. Because that's what everybody says. I get so sick of that. Don't smash the like button. Just tap on the screen. Wherever that button is, just tap on it. Unless you got a computer screen that doesn't have touch-sensitive stuff. You just have to push on a button or something. Or click your mouse. Whatever you got to do. Don't smash anything, please. Because that could be dangerous. God bless everybody. Keep praying for our nation. I'll try to be back here this afternoon. Probably will not be a live show. It'll probably be recorded. So have a great day, folks.